Welcome to our short story series, A Walk in the Dark. I am your host, Bob Berry. This dark tale, entitled The Cold Affair, is tragic in so many ways. Young love can be so sweet, but events in life can sometimes turn that love dark. Very dark.
Are you sure?
Yes.
When did you find out?
Last week. You know what this means, of course.
His hands dug deep into his overcoat pockets, as if searching for an answer. They were on the sidewalk with biting snow clinging to their coats and hair, almost making them appear as Christmas mannequins.
I guess I could go home next semester while you finish school. We're lucky that you're so near the degree. You'll have the summer to look for a job. I read somewhere that teaching positions are available all over the country. You don't have to stay here.
In a gesture of kindness, she removed her gloves and reached to button his overcoat. He stood like a small child, awkward and speechless. She grasped his arm and looked into his eyes and found nothing.
You're absolutely sure?
I'm sure.
She walked away, head bowed, clutching the coat about her neck. He watched her for a long moment, then slowly walked toward the science building. For the first time in the semester, he was late for class. When he entered the auditorium, the professor paused dramatically to call attention to his tardiness. Then he resumed his lecture on the extinction of certain animal life in North America. The tardy student now realized that what he had heard almost certainly meant an end to all his future and dreams. His mind drifted back to their first meeting at the Sandbox, an off-campus restaurant. Soon they were dining, drinking, and making love. He was not in love with her. Too busy for that, and all it entailed. He wanted to be a successful writer, and nothing would stop him from that pursuit. Nothing, that is, but this. The next few days passed in a melancholy haze. One afternoon, to clear his mind, he borrowed his roommate's beat-up 65 Pontiac and hobbled north beyond the city limits through the hills of the surrounding countryside. At length, he came to a curve in the road leading to a bridge across Indian River, a deep channeled river which wound its way snake-like through the hills. Rather than cross the bridge, he turned onto a dirt lane leading to the riverbank. He stopped the car and opened the window to allow cold air to freshen the car and his thoughts. The barren trees were bent over the river like charred, skeletal arms. A squirrel sitting on an upper branch caught his attention. He watched in fascination as the hungry animal busily attacked a walnut, which suddenly fell from its grasp and into the river below. He sat staring at the ripples in the icy water, his mind suddenly racing. Images appeared. He knew he could never put into action what his mind saw. And yet, driving back to campus, he reviewed their relationship. Both loners. Neither had many friends, and her family involvement was practically nil. Her parents were busily preparing for divorce. Both were essentially very much alone. They treated their romance as a private adventure. The next night, she was waiting when he pulled up in his roommate's car in front of her dorm. She opened the door and got in, then cracked the window, allowing a rush of cold air into the car.
Hey, it's freezing out there. Roll that up.
I'll take the cold. Your car stinks.
It's not my car.
We'll need to get one, you know, when it's time.
Yeah, when it's time. Where to, kitten?
Let's just drive around. I feel like driving. I missed all my classes today. I wasn't sick or anything. I just didn't feel like going.
Have you told anyone about it?
No.
But you did go to a doctor. A good one?
Yes. But I lied a bit. I didn't give him my right name or address. I made one up.
Didn't you have to tell him about me?
He didn't ask.
I'm sorry it happened. I hope you believe that.
Being sorry isn't enough, though, is it?
Guess not.
Who knows? Married life may not be so bad. People do it all the time.
Have you told anyone?
I wanted to be sure about our plans first.
I know I haven't said much, but I love you, and we'll see this through together.
She looked at him with a faint smile, then leaned toward him, cradling her head on his shoulder. It was late when he got back to the dorm. He now relaxed on his bed. Everything was in place now. He remembered the joyful, childlike exuberance she displayed when he proposed the solution to their problem. He had decided that they must be married immediately. No delays, no chance for others to interfere. They would tell no one until it was done. They would go to a nearby city, get married, and spend an extra day or two before breaking the news to the world. Friday would be the last day of classes for the week. They were to pack one suitcase each and meet outside her dorm around 2 a.m. Saturday. Sleep finally robbed him of thought. He awoke with a start. It was late morning, and he had much to do. He found his buddy's old clunker in its usual spot, grabbed the key from under the floor mat, and drove to the junkyard on the outskirts of town. A 25-foot coil of chain lay like a sleeping anaconda beside a dilapidated shul shed, along with two concrete blocks which he had dragged there the day before. He lugged them all into the back seat floor of the Pontiac. On the drive back, he spent time rehearsing in his mind what had to be done. There could be no backing down now. Evening came, and he felt sick and vomited. She was waiting on time at 2 a.m., a black, lonely figure with suitcase in hand. Sleet was beginning to fall. He was nervous as they drove from the town, making small talk, and the miles began to pass in an uncomfortable silence as they wound their way ever closer to the cold waters of the Indian River. He turned the car off the main highway, cars sliding slightly on the icy pavement before lurching onto the dirt road.
Where are we going?
We won't stay long. I just want to hold you.
He rolled the car to a stop at a place overlooking the river. The moon glowed brightly in the cold, clear night sky.
It's beautiful.
They kissed more passionately than ever.
I love you.
She put her head on his shoulder as he slowly brought his arm around her neck. At his touch, she moved closer to him, saying nothing.
I'm sorry it happened.
His arm tightened. She tried to reposition herself.
I'm sorry it happened.
Her hands pushed at his chest and leg.
I'm sorry it happened.
She became hysterical as his right arm squeezed tighter, aided by his left hand. She probably knew now, and he didn't want the realization to last.
I'm sorry it happened!
With only a few incoherent sounds, her body went limp. He kissed the hair that was on his shoulder and whispered very softly.
I'm sorry.
It took him a moment to control himself. From this point on, everything had to be mechanical. He turned on the interior light. The engine was still idling, the heater blowing warm air. He pushed the thing away from him, letting it slump against the passenger door. He reached into the back, lifting off the raincoat which covered the chain and concrete blocks. The encircling of the body with chain was more difficult than he had expected. He was aware of the open, staring, dead eyes and proceeded quickly. Soon, he paused, fatigued by the extent of his labors. He had enough chain left to attach the cement blocks, which would assure a one-way passage to the bottom of the river. The heat was stifling, and he was beginning to sweat. With effort, he pulled one of the blocks up from the floor of the back seat. It seemed heavier than he had remembered. Slowly, he secured the chain through the block and then paused to catch his breath. The next block would have to wait. He was feeling very tired. He leaned back and fell into the enveloping black sleep as the car filled with noxious fumes. Dawn came. On a slim, ice-coated branch, a squirrel teetered, twitching its head from side to side in search of something, or perhaps annoyed by the sound of a car's engine running below, which labored in vain to keep 2, 3 lifeless bodies warm.
The Cold Affair was written and directed by Bob Berry. The cast included Tyler Marks, Katie Withers, and Larry Adams. Original theme music by Brian Lee Wheat. Produced at Village Recording Studio, Indianapolis, Indiana. I am your host, Bob Berry. Be with us next time for another episode of A Walk in the Dark.